Hey, this is Elizabeth.
This is Keisha.
Hi, this is Leslie Sullivan, and welcome to the Mustard Seed Podcast.
Welcome back to the table, and good morning again, because it is, again, it's morning here.
Morning!
Today we are going to look at a chapter in a book. Instead of doing the whole book, we're going to break up this book a lot. We're going to break it up a lot, because if we did it all as one, we'd be here for 4 months.
At least.
Yeah.
So we're going to do the book of Psalm. So it's all the Psalms. Psalm. We're going to be looking at a psalm in the book of Psalms. How much coffee has everybody had? Can we talk? And can we make sure we get these words come out of our mouths today?
We just know it's not going to happen with me, guys. just be prepared. Who knows what'll come out of my mouth?
So today we're going to look at Psalm 46, which is a great one.
Mm-hmm. It is. I mean, I'm getting a new appreciation for Psalms.
It's for the Psalms. Yeah. That's accurate. Yeah. I mean, it's totally accurate.
It's actually been something I've struggled with in the past, because I'm not a poetic type of person. Things get wordy, I get lost, but I'm starting to need appreciation for Psalms and how well it does with praising God.
I think one of the best things and the appreciation that I have for Psalms as a whole, as a book, is that it's a book of praise, right? But it's a praise hymn at any time in your life, during any circumstance.
Yeah. The neat thing is, you know, there's so many different kinds of psalms. There's psalms of ascent, psalms of praise, psalms of lament, psalms of, there's probably 10 other styles, but mm-hmm. The truth is, in all of them, there's this resolution to find the praise, to praise God for whatever your circumstance is, whether it's the people of Jerusalem, or the people of Israel, or the people of Babylon, or the people of, you know, whatever all the different places are, or an individual praising God.
Yeah.
And that's what's so neat about Psalms, is that it opens up your eyes to that you can pray and praise in any storm, in any hill, any valley, any mountaintop.
Yep. You know, bring it to him no matter where you are and what you're going through.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Which, again, I think we've talked about before. I think that's why David was the man after his own heart, because no matter what, he brought it to God. He brought everything to God.
Yep. Yep. And he found ways to, praise him in any circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
Even his own sin.
Yeah. I'll say this. I found out during all this research things I didn't know about the book. Mm-hmm. I honestly never really thought about how many authors there were in here, and I just assumed it was David.
Yeah, right? I assumed it was mostly David.
I mean, and he does. He wrote 73 of them, which is about half, but he's still not, he's not the only one.
Yeah.
Which I found to be quite interesting.
Me too. And I found it fascinating that Moses was the author of at least one of the Psalms.
And it's the oldest one, which is
Psalm 90.
Yeah. It's just like, wow. You know, because the book of Psalm itself spans over like 1,000 years that these were written. And so the book of Psalm itself, too, has the longest book of the Bible, or mm-hmm. the chapter of the Bible. Well, I guess it is the longest book. Excuse me. It's the longest book of the Bible with 150 chapters. It has the longest chapter in the Bible, which is Psalm 119. And it's got the shortest chapter in the Bible, which is Psalm 117, which that psalm is the exact middle of the Bible.
Hmm. State.
Without the commentary, you know, like that. But that would be like out of the text of this, just the Bible itself. That's the middle.
Yep.
Which I know most people like mine, and I have however many Bibles I have, they all have commentaries, which makes pages a little bit longer on some ends and on the others, depending on if it's like a devotional Bible, so you have devotions in there or what. But yeah.
Well, the truth is, most times if you open your Bible to center, you're going to hit somewhere in the Psalms.
100%.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the Psalms, depending on what your extra parts are.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to always open up to a Psalm if you are going just eyeing it on the center. And I think what's neat is sometimes in our staff devotions, we will just open up the Bible and, okay, we're going to read that Psalm today. And it's kind of neat to see what the Lord's trying to show us in that moment. Again, goes back to what we were talking about before. He's always showing you something in one of the Psalms. He's always showing you something. That applies to even 118 and 19 and the really crazy long ones and all that fun.
Yes.
So Psalm is kind of the book itself, and I know we'll give this like a, you know, this is just kind of a brief overview of Psalm, like the book of Psalms, like, so that way we're looking, getting that a little bit, and then we'll kind of, because we'll go into a little bit of history probably every time we go into a specific Psalm, because we're just going to do one on most of the shows unless they correlate, which a lot of them are standalone, because again, we have at least 7 authors in the book of Psalms. So sometimes they're not all together. Like there's a lot that obviously that David wrote, and it's, you can go back to see where he was during the time.
Yeah. And I think that's very fascinating because, you know, it's a lot of it's already is written, you know?
Yeah.
And, then you can get an understanding of what he was feeling in that moment.
Yeah. You know, so the way that this is kind of the book is kind of split up, like again I said, it's in like 5 different quote unquote books, like that's how Psalm is separated. And they figured that out because each book kind of ends the same way, like with a certain like doxology, so that way it just shows this is the end of this one, now let's go to the next one. So like you have the first book is chapters 1 through 41. The second book is chapter 42 through 72. The third is 73 through 89. The fourth is 90 through 106. And the fifth is 107 to 150. And then they also have that it kind of correlates with the books of Moses too. Which is kind of, this is all so fascinating, you know? So they have it to where like the first book of Psalm is Genesis. Cause the themes are like man's relationship with God. And then you have the second book being Exodus, because that second book of Psalms is more of a deliverance theme. And then you have the third book, which is Leviticus, because that theme is more like a sanctuary. Fourth would be Numbers, because it's kind of an unrest book. And then the fifth one is Deuteronomy, because it's emphasizing on just like the words, like the word of God.
And something that I read, like the fifth book is also like Psalms of Revival.
Let's see that.
And then, you know, it's also fascinating because Jesus references the book of Psalms 11 times. And there's also Psalms that are messianic Psalms.
Yep. Which
gives the details of Jesus' birth, life.
So the psalm that we're going to look at, 46, is actually written by the Sons of Korah.
So I believe that is another way of saying Levites, right?
I know, we just talked about this in church.
I know.
I'm sitting here like, I literally looked at that, my notes from church, and I was like, I don't need that. And so I just grabbed my Bible out of my tote bag.
There's something specifically about Korah. Like, he wasn't a good guy.
No.
And so it was a kind of a embarrassment to be known as.
It was the people that were questioning Moses and Aaron. That's what it was.
And they got killed, right?
And so they got killed, but not all of them. There were still some that kind of were.
It's the Levite. You're right.
Doug just went over that.
Yep. Yeah, a Levite who led a rebellion against Moses and Aaron.
Perfect.
And Korah's story is told in the book of Numbers. I was trying to get to that in my study Bible, so that's why I was looking down more.
I was like, I know we just went over this, and I forgot to look back over it. Should we say that better?
It's a song of the descendants of Korah. To be sung by soprano voices, but it's interesting that Korah is mentioned in a lot of Psalms, 44 through 49, or for Korah, 84, 85, 87, and 88. I didn't know that until I just looked that up. I knew that 44 through 49 were for the people of Korah or Korah's descendants, but I didn't realize that there was a few others that were part of that, so. Mm-hmm. But here's what happened to Korah. Korah and his co-conspirators died when God caused the earth to swallow them.
Yeah.
That's an interesting fact of Korah. Anyway, sorry. Maybe
no. Sounds unpleasant.
Yes.
And I guess that's, questioning God is a no-no.
I think in the way they did it, yes. Yep.
I remember when Doug was talking about that, and I read the whole story while he was talking. I'm like, I don't even remember this.
Yeah. I don't either. I didn't either. And I found it very fascinating. And it's something I would just skip over, you know? Oh, Korah. He probably was like a chief musician who David really liked. This is his sons. Right. That's not what that means at all.
Well, and it's because it's a book of Numbers, too. And quite honestly, Leviticus and Numbers are not the ones that I go back to very often to read.
No.
And that's because it is all this Old Testament, Levitical law, Levitical happenings, all those kinds of things, all the laws, all the things like that. And so Numbers and Leviticus are not the ones that I'm drawn to. There's great stuff in them.
Yeah.
But they're not the ones that I'm going to go to for my go-to thing. And maybe that's not a good thing. I don't know. Maybe I should go read them. The Lord will show me what I'm supposed to, I think. But because it's not the thing. Like, I'd rather read about all the things that came out of it, that came out of Numbers, Leviticus, and even Deuteronomy, right? Like, that's the area I want to leap from, but I don't want to.
I
don't know who Korah is perfectly, I think is not the end of our world. It's kind of like, can you name every king in the Book of Kings? No.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
So. All the judges and judges. There's a lot.
Yeah.
I can't even tell you who the judge of my county is anyway. I'm just kidding. I can, but I'm joking about that.
I can't.
No. I don't know. I probably knew it one time, but I don't know right now.
So there you go.
Okay.
It's one of my favorites. So this is, just so everyone knows, this is the NLT version that I'm reading, because there's a few little things, but the basic core of it is exactly what's in ESV, all the NIV and other versions too. So Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. A river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. God dwells in that city. It cannot be destroyed. From the very break of day, God will protect it. The nations are in chaos and their kingdoms crumble. God's voice thunders and the earth melts. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. Come and see the glorious works of the Lord. See how he brings destruction upon the world. He causes wars to end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and snaps the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress.
A lot of people, this is just random first. It's random first because that's where my head goes first always. It's random. This is always the verse that people think I'm referencing with my tattoo that says be still, but it's not. Yeah. I'm still referencing Exodus 14:14. You know, the Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. I'm not saying that this one isn't as good, but it's that the Lord will fight for you. I need to back off. You know, and it's that's still what this is saying. Mm-hmm. It's just phrased different in Exodus.
Well, the context is slightly different in the aspect of where those words come to the people, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it is this concept of if you would just relax,
yeah,
listen, be still, hear yes, me, hear my word,
mm-hmm.
and I'm with you. I've got you. Do not be afraid. I mean, all of the phrases that he repeats a bazillion times in scripture for us, like, do not be afraid and things like that. Be still. And the actual words be still may not be spoken as much as, like, do not be afraid. But there's so much reference to that be still and listen to me because I've got you phrase. Bible.
Yeah. Be confident. Be secure. You know, And it is. It's be in reverence. Be, you know, there's so much. That word is all encompassing of like any form that can mean just knock it off. You know, tell your brain to stop. You know,
literally.
I pick a verse each year to be my verse of the year. Sometimes it's my verse of the year for 2 years if I don't. to make any progress. But anyway, I've got 2022 written out from Be Still and Know That I Am God, verse 10, mm-hmm. because that was my verse of that year.
It's a great verse
and it's a great concept. Think about it. We were coming out of COVID from that still.
Mm-hmm.
The world has not been the same since 2020 because of that pandemic and how it changed how we viewed our neighbors. And I don't mean we. I know we are different.
No, but it's you're saying more of a corporate, global we. Yeah.
You know, it's changed how globally people have viewed the government, how people have viewed different aspects of the government, different parties, mm-hmm. you know, right, left, middle. I mean, there's just, it was so much change after that. So I could understand why that verse would have been your verse that year.
Yep. Yep. There was a lot of turmoil, a lot of things up in the air, didn't know what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of mistrust.
I mean, and it's still there, but I feel like a lot of us are getting used to that. You know, this is just the way it is now, which isn't always the best.
Yeah.
But it is still like we're prepared. We're better prepared for it now.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. I think it's also that we are ready for what comes our way, even when we don't agree with it or don't like it or mm-hmm. don't understand it. And a little bit of the, you know, the whole change in our world from the pandemic and things like that has helped us to say, I have to keep giving it to God because there's no way I can understand and control this.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that is what this specific psalm is about. Like, mm-hmm. God is our refuge and strength. He is the one we can rely on when the mountains are crumbling and the oceans are roaring and, you know, and the waters are surging and anyway, all these things. Like, if we can't be inspired to just trust in Him when everything around you is falling apart, whether it's personally, America, globally, whatever your perspective is at that moment.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Trust in Him. Be still and know He is God.
Yep. This past Wednesday, Sunday, Doug was talking about, the when my heart is overwhelmed, you know, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And I, that has been my mantra this entire week. That is the only thing, I think, with everything that's getting thrown this year. You know, and I told him, I said, I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that verse. I do. I've always known it. But this, it's like God knew that he needed to preach on that so that way I could focus on God through stuff that, you know, through stuff that's going on with work and having to go and purchase 4 new tires because my one tire blew out. And then, yeah, it was just, I mean, which is a minor thing. That's minor compared to what other people go through, but it was not minor still for me to have to hand
but
over my Discover
world,
card.
So it, yeah, it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we downplay sometimes the things that are affecting your world really are, it's okay for it to be big in your world, right? Like it's okay for you to have that. Like I had a total meltdown. I texted you about our screens kind of blowing up at church. And I was literally up in our tech booth, like on the computer, and I'm crying. And everyone comes up, they're like, what can we do? I'm like, I don't know. And I'm having a meltdown. And then I just took a breath. I prayed. I still was having a meltdown in my head, right? But I could then calm myself and go, okay, Lord, you're going to show us how to fix this because there's no reason that it broke. There's no reason that, like, and I can't also dwell in that. Did I cause it? Did the computer cause it? We just have to fix it because we want to be able to proclaim you on Sunday.
Yeah.
Like that was why I was so upset. It wasn't because I mean, I can handle when I break something. I mean, I break dishes and I mean, like I break stuff all the time, but it's that nature of, I'm also working so hard to proclaim you, Lord, in all that I say and do. But that's also why we beat ourselves up so easily on things that we feel shouldn't be that big of a deal. Let it be that big a deal for that minute.
Yeah.
And then get back to focusing on what the Lord's showing you in that minute.
Yeah.
Easier said than done most days, right?
100%.
Yes. Because sometimes our reaction is not what it should be. Like it makes me think back to this week. I had a patient added to my schedule that I wasn't expecting. And I'd already seen this patient, and then they added it back to me to do a discharge on her. And it was a patient who I knew was just going to go off as soon as I told her we had to discharge her because of her insurance. And I was just, my reaction was completely bad. But I think we also take those moments that, you know, you ask for forgiveness. You know God's going to forgive you. You know he's got it. And pray about it. Because the visit turned out completely fine. There was no problem. She was very nice about it. And it also was a visit that I needed because I had some others that fell through. So.
Yeah. It's amazing how he can help us also change our perspective.
Yes.
With an interaction, with an acknowledgement of that it's okay to be frustrated or, you know, whatever it is. So.
Yes.
Yep.
I praise him in those moments when I can wrap my head and my heart around it and acknowledge it, right?
Yes.
It's the getting out of the emotional reaction to getting to that point of, okay.
Yeah.
I don't have to fix everything. I'm not perfect. You know what I mean? Like I can't control my reaction or others' reactions. I have to just, I can control my reaction. You know what I mean? But I can have that moment and then go, okay, I'm taking my deep breath, Lord. Help me to remember.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you have to go back and apologize who you were talking to at the time and say, I'm sorry, that I just cussed.
Yeah.
Should not have said that word.
That humility is huge, though. And that's even what the Lord teaches us in the Psalms and in a lot of the books of the Bible. That humility to come to him and to our fellow brothers and sisters when we err, freak out, everything in between.
Right.
You know.
And that's why it is. I think, again, why I have a better appreciation for this book of the Bible, because it teaches you how to pray a little bit. Like, you know, you come to God and you talk about how amazing he is. Like, if you look at what a lot of the ones that even David wrote, you know, but it's saying, like, even this psalm, it's, you know, I can come and see the glorious works of God. Mm-hmm. See how he brings destruction upon the world as he causes wars to end throughout the earth. You know, he breaks the bow and snaps the spear. Like, it's showing, like, he is mighty. He is powerful. And so the psalm is saying it. So you're providing that praise to God, and also still being able to, you know, soothe your soul, knowing that you're not alone. You are not going through this by yourself.
Yeah.
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 When Doug talked about, and it was the same time when he talked about the sons of Korah, was because he talked about this, and he's talking about the spiritual warfare and everything that goes on that we don't see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so here it's showing, you know, the Lord of Heaven's armies are here among us. You know, he was referencing, you know, it's like, that's the thing that's going on in the spiritual realm. These are angels that are fighting on our behalf.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he talked about, wasn't it Elisha? And I know there's Elijah and Eli, like the other one.
Elijah.
And Elijah.
Yeah, and I always pronounce it as Alicia, so that way I know in my head, because I'm like, that's just how I can see it. You know?
I like that. I'm like, shh.
Yeah. But, you know, when they're surrounded,
uh-huh.
and he tells his little, wasn't it a little protege of, you know, like, hey, we're not alone.
Yeah.
We're not, and, you know, like, and so God opens his eyes and he sees that they're surrounded,
yeah.
by heaven's armies, you know. And so it's like, I know God's not going to always open our eyes to see that.
Uh-huh.
But he lets us feel it.
Yes, we feel it. And he's shown us in the Bible, yeah. that it's there. You know, there's that time. There's, you know, when with Daniel and shucks, is it Gabriel that comes?
Michael.
Is it Michael?
Are they both? I think he sees both.
Does he see both?
This has been in what one?
Well, one of them comes and he's like, sorry, I was delayed coming because I had to help the other one fight off the
yeah
Persian equivalent to the angel, the demons.
Mm-hmm.
That was poorly
the prince of
Persia said.
Like, it was like,
yeah.
Yeah, no, but we all know, like, again, we are real people here, you guys.
No, I think, yeah, because I don't remember if it's, I mean, I don't remember that either. I mean, I remember this part of the story, but it's that reassurance that the heaven's armies are with us, right? The angels are with us, and they are constantly helping us in our battles. Mm-hmm. It's like the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's constantly helping, yep. us in our battles, right?
Yep.
He's helping us to keep us, like, on the path. Like, oh, spirit 2x4 on either side of your head, or whatever you need at the moment. And I think that's also the angel armies are constantly trying to fight for us to see the truth when there's so much coming at us that we could easily get entangled in.
Mm-hmm.
So much that we can easily get entangled in.
Yes.
Sometimes I would like to see it, though, you know, just to see, because I always have this vision of, you know, the angel is trying to either combat all of your negative thoughts, right? All of your
yeah.
feelings and that are not of God, and your insecurity. So they battle that, because I feel like they battle that that comes from, you know, evil, comes from,
yeah.
Satan, comes,
yeah.
from the darkness.
Yeah. Anything they can use to separate you from God.
Mm-hmm. So I always see, like, they're like, if those thoughts are coming from just different areas of darkness, that, you know, you have the armies that are fighting it on your behalf.
Yeah.
But it, you know, obviously still some get through, because otherwise my brain wouldn't be as messed up as it is. But
preach, sister.
You know, I mean, it's, I know that it's there, and I love, and I think that's an easier thing for some to grasp than others.
Yeah.
Because there are still people that, if I can't see it, I don't understand, or if it's not fully spelled out that that's occurring here in the Bible, then it didn't happen or it's not happening.
Yeah.
You know, so people can look at this and think, oh, it's a metaphor. This isn't a metaphor.
Yeah.
This is what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. We can't see heaven, but we know it's there.
Exactly.
Right? Like,
yeah. It's those people who say, well, that's a great book, the
yeah.
Bible.
Yeah.
It reads really neat. Like, there's so much stuff in it. But they don't understand that it's living and breathing today.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, God's word is alive and showing us direction, even for today's yeah. circumstances, and that you can look at the Old and the New Testament and see your context, your world, the country, the global part of everything. I mean, you can see where we as a world are going at all times. So,
yeah. I always feel like every time we get into like a book like this, I'll find almost any book of the Bible, you know, you get those verses that are like, oh yeah, I need to write that one down. That one speaks yeah. to me. I need to do this. You know, it's just like, to me, the 46 still brings me back to, you know, Ruth that we were talking about last time, you know, where he says, you know, may the Lord, the God of Israel, whose wings you have taken refuge. You know, that still speaks to his protection, you know, the protection that he is providing you.
Yeah.
And I also love that when I can read something in a different book and I can see it other places.
Yeah. There's a great song by Shane and Shane, Psalm 46 by Shane and Shane, which is also the subtitle is Lord of Hosts. And it's Lord of Hosts, you are with us. You protect us, you guide us, you know, I mean, all of the things it says in here. And if you need a good song, a good praise song, go listen to that song, because it's inspirational. It's so good.
I'll have to look that one up.
Yeah. It's really good. If it doesn't stir you, well, let's talk.
check your heart.
But it also might not hit you at the right moment. Like, I think that's a, like, with Psalms, with the scripture, with music that leads you to Psalms or to scripture, sometimes you're not in that right frame, and that's okay too. But I just think it's also neat how we have so many people, we were talking about this when we were talking about Ruth, is that there are things that can stir you to dig deeper into scripture, or that the artist has, like a music artist, mm-hmm. I'm just like a pastor, has studied the scriptures a ton, and then they're inspired to write this music that, at least for them, is inspirational at the moment. Like, that's their heart. That's their way of sharing their faith and their journey and that kind of stuff. And that's why I shouldn't say, like, if you're not stirred by this, you're just a horrible person. You're not a horrible person. It just may not hit you the right way in that way at that moment.
But yeah.
Music is powerful to me. I just love music. So that's why I can think of like 10 songs right now that we do that are this is a psalm, right? You know, and it just helps you always hear it in different contexts and point out, like you just said, that verse that speaks to you at that moment too.
So. Yeah. No, I can attest to that, where there's been songs that I've listened to and I've sang, and then all of a sudden one day I'm in tears because that's what I needed to hear or to say and to feel.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't need that 10 years ago when that song came out.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
3 weeks ago when I read that verse, or, you know, or even the verse that you see, like I said, you know, well, my heart is overwhelmed. How many times a day do we see that verse on Facebook or on Instagram or, you know, in the Bible app? How many times do they use that one as the verse of the day? Like, how many, like, and then all of a sudden it just slams you in the face like this, you know? And I think that's why. Yeah. It's important to be in the scriptures and to listen to Christian music. And I'm not going to say always, because I don't always listen to Christian music.
Yeah.
You know, but I would say at least a good 75% I do.
Yeah.
When I'm not listening to an audiobook. So, and then, you know, but then there's days you just want to have a little Backstreet Boys on in the background, you know, little Frank Sinatra going on, you know, you just need that sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Def Leppard, all that fun stuff. Yeah. I have a very eclectic
I love that you just said Frank Sinatra, Def Leppard, and the Backstreet Boys. sentence.
That is how.
I'm not gonna lie, that makes my day. Because that's my my XM like channels, yes, in my car is like 40s standards, 80s 90s pop, and what's the one, it's like Spectrum, which shows a whole, it does a whole bunch of 80s and 90s rock,
oh,
like
perfect,
heavy metal, yeah, and rock and stuff like that. That cracks me up. So anyway,
I mean, I make it my own. I literally call my playlist the Happy Dance because I like that song. I love that song. So I'll add it to it. So, you know,
it.
And there's times I'm going like through 15 songs, like I'm not in the mood for this one today. Yeah. But, you know, there's times when I just let it play. And yeah. So I have a very eclectic playlist.
Me too. Amen. Okay, I'm sick.
And that's probably why, I think that's likely why you love Psalms so much, though, because this is set to music.
Uh-huh.
And that's something I think that Nikki's mentioned, that's your niche, like you love, like that's, yeah, what you need.
I love being able to find songs that help us connect to scripture,
mm-hmm,
a lot, but because it's what I do for a living is music planning and worship planning and stuff like that. But because I just think there's so much power in music, whether it's a classic old hymn, mm-hmm, to a contemporary new song, you know what I mean? Like it's just, mm-hmm, there's such power, and it's hopefully because like we try to strive to be in God's word, learning from it, growing from it, and wanting then to share what we learn with others. That's why we do this podcast. It's why we even stay on social media and things like that, is because I'm hoping that the influence we can have is a positive one in our world, right? And one that helps point people to why I love the Lord so much and what, yes, he's done for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I see in music, or not just church settings, but going to a concert, going to Winter Jam, going to, you know, things like that. Like the Lord's showing people how to live their faith differently when they're not necessarily the person who's going to be able to talk about it, or,
yep,
or this, or, you know, things like that. So. And that's what the Psalms do for us as well.
Oh, it does. Absolutely. I mean, it was used, and sometimes even still can be used as a hymn book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would like to see some of the music, or hear it, because I can't read music, but I would love to hear, you know, how they put this to music. I would like to understand.
That would be neat.
There's a bunch of different versions of things like this that are just what they suppose would be how it was sung, you know, back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also some people who have just taken it to themselves to make new versions of the word with the words, and make, you know, make, mm-hmm, songs for, yeah, the different Psalms. And it's pretty neat to hear different people's interpretations and how they, which verse or which emphasis of Psalm 46 or Psalm 100 or Psalm 91 or 92, you know, like whichever Psalm it is, becomes the focus of that thing, and how they portray it, and, mm-hmm, try to think back to what did David actually, like, was it a harp, a lute, and a lyre, like, you know, like,
yeah,
I mean, all of the things that you see like in Psalm 150 and Psalm 100 and all the different ways, the crashing cymbals and, you know, things like that. So
yeah,
it's kind of interesting to think through what would it have sounded like back when David was,
yeah,
David and others were writing these.
Yeah. David and friends.
David and friends.
Yeah. It's, and every time, and because this is something I've done since high school, right? Like when I really started kind of getting into the Bible, when you're actually starting to really learn and look it up, you know, when the youth pastors are making you do that kind of stuff. And,
yep,
every time I found a verse in the Bible that I knew was a phrase in a song, I'd always put like a music note by it, because it's, mm-hmm, like,
cool,
it makes you think about, you know, this one, and I know this isn't where it's coming from because there is a different verse, but, you know, the casting crowns, the God of angel armies, you know, is always by your side. So it's similar to this one, but there,
yeah,
is that phrase somewhere, and I don't know where, because I have it,
uh-huh,
you know, but I like to always find stuff like that, like where people have picked out verses and phrases and chapters and made that into their song, whether the whole song's about it or not, but it's just,
yeah,
showing, it kind of gets you to that validity of, this song is scriptural. Mm-hmm. It's not just, this is how I feel.
And I would say some of my favorite songs are like that. They're actually taking the verses right out of the Bible.
Yeah. And I know we sometimes get, we've gotten away from that a little bit, I think. You know, there's so much controversy with Hillsong and the other big one that I can't think of at the moment.
Elevation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, about their songs in the scriptural basis. And I'm like, some of it I agree with. Okay, like if you're going to do something. But the other part is if it's still bringing people to God, it's not, you're not taking away from, as Steve says it, the main thing.
Uh-huh.
There are a lot of people that have a lot of different opinions, and myself included, you know, into how my God works, right? And how I interpret what Jesus told us to do and what he's telling me to do is still not going to be the same thing that he's telling you guys to do. So
yeah.
I always try to take everything with a grain of salt, because if a song's going to if a song is going to speak to me and help me speak to God, then it's doing what it needs to do. And as long as it's not full out blasphemy or taking away from Jesus and what he's done, then I'm not going to sit here and pick it apart.
Hollywood movies about the Bible.
Yeah.
So, like, there's a Russell Crowe did what, God, what was it? It was Noah. It was a Noah. I can't remember the name of the movie, but it was about Noah, and Russell Crowe played Noah, and there were, like, wood nymphs who helped build the ark, and, I mean, all this weird stuff not biblical at all. But it started a conversation with people who just wanted to know what the actual story was. And I say, now, Do I say go watch that movie? It's great. No.
Yeah.
So if someone brings it up, I can have an intelligent conversation about what the Lord actually says about that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That movie, that song, that whatever. If I'm aware of what's going on in the world and like how people interpret it, and you know, it's kind of like there's some controversy over Brandon Lake and Jelly Roll doing a.
Oh gosh!
A
right?
Song together.
Yeah, they did a Grand Ole Opry.
And I'm like, but is it now public that there's this beautiful, like, realness to sin and hard fart hallelujah and da, da, da. And I'm like, yes, it may not be a perfect thing, but neither one of them are perfect, and anybody who is singing out there is not perfect. So why are we,
judging?
Yes, hold some people, like, it's like we hold pastors to a higher esteem, right? Like they, pedestals, right? Yeah. Okay, get it. But when they fall, if they're humble in their fall, why are we still demonizing them, right? Like, and I'm not saying promote them and say, yay, you were humble,
right?
But it is, you admitted. Let's go forward now. You've admitted the issue, right? And I think sometimes we just get so caught up that we try to be the angel army, the heaven's army, the thing like that, and that's not our job.
No,
it's not our job. And our job is to call our brothers and sisters out on stuff. Yes.
Yeah.
In love. Speak the truth in love. Speak God's word.
Uh-huh. And gently. And I think that's why it tells us so many times in the Bible, with love, gentle, with love and gentleness.
Yeah.
And, it's kind of like what you were saying, putting someone on a pedestal. It's important for us to remember, we are all human, we all sin, but sometimes it's our sin that brings us closer to God. Mm-hmm. It's not saying, go out and sin, you'll be closer to God, you know, but it's that repentance that we get in our heart that, and how much we know that we don't deserve this gift God gave us, you know, and how much more appreciative we are to God for doing what he did, for Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. He taking on our sin and our death so we don't have to.
Yep.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I am looking forward to, you know, going through more of these as we go on, because the Book of Psalm, as much as I like it, it's not ever one that I study.
Me,
kind of like Proverbs.
Yeah.
I like it. it's got a lot of good knowledge, but it's not one I'm ever digging really into. Though I have started, I should use that term vaguely. I have tried to start, when I do it, reading a Proverbs a day, because there's 31 of them. Mm-hmm. You know, so you kind of correlate the date with the Proverbs that you're reading.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I have tried to do that, which has been nice, because that means I'm actually going to get through it. But it also means I need to make sure that I do it every time. I need to make sure I get up in the morning and do my devotion, and or even doing it throughout the day, whether that's actually taking a lunch or something, which is unheard of right now in my world at work. But,
what's that?
Yeah, what's taking a lunch?
For me, it's eating on the way or eating while I'm making phone calls.
Mm-hmm. I eat at my desk. My lunch is literally likely switching laundry over, or if I'm at home, you know, if I'm not at the shop, then it's switching laundry over. And it's not even really a lunch. Like, that isn't, you know, it's just, that's what all it is. But I need to,
I try to read, at least a psalm a week. That's kind of my goal. I have a pastor friend who actually every Sunday puts out 3 psalms that you can read, and he has like a thing so you can get through all the psalms in a month if you read 3 every, I think it's 3 every Sunday or 3 every day, I don't remember what it is, but anyway, but I just try to pick one, and sometimes I'll go through a phase where I read the same one for a few weeks in a row, just so I can really dig in and and find it. We've been doing this psalm series at church, so I've been reading those the 5 weeks, I've been reading those 5 psalms this entire month of February, and I'll finish it here in March, just so I'm constantly reiterating what I learned on Sunday throughout my week. So
that's a good way to do it. I do.
It's an attempted practice. I'm not going to say it's perfect, but
nobody's perfect.
The nice thing is I learned a ton about Psalms in this series that we did, and I'm hoping that it carries forward to help me be more intentional about reading them.
Mm-hmm. I would say it's definitely an area in the book that I've avoided, honestly. Well, because there's so much meaning in it that I have a hard time understanding. It's you know, a lot of symbolism, and it's one that I struggle to fully understand the concept of it, but like I said, it's one that I'm trying to get more of appreciation to, because it does so good demonstrating your love for God, demonstrating praise for God, demonstrating the adoration that we have for God.
Yep.
So, I've started, I think I've done it 3 times in a month, but you know, prayer journal and using the word acts as a guide, you know, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and for the adoration, it's Psalms that I go to. Mm-hmm. You know, I read through Psalms. I try to use the same wordings, because it's done so well, you know, because it came from the heart. It, you know, like, you know, you said before, you know, David is known as having the heart for God. And it shows in his words. I'm not good with words. I need someone else's words to describe how I feel.
Yeah.
And Psalms is a good place to go for that.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It's like, I'm good with words as long as it's written. If I can write it down, I'm really good at expressing myself that way. But, and Steve can attest to this, because I'm very literally verbal to him, you know, I text him a lot if I'm upset or if I need to get something out, or just even expressing my love for him. It's a lot easier for me to write it down to him and give it to him than it is for me to actually verbally say it, because I screw it up every time. Being that serious and that almost vulnerable is hard for me, you know. And so, but there's also times when I'm like, that song is how I feel. So I'll send it to Steve, like, here you go. This is how I feel about you. You know? And so there's always something that's different in the written word. And when somebody else writes it, it's like, finally, somebody said what I have been feeling. I couldn't express it.
Yeah.
How cool is it that the Lord gives us those things to be able to express what we need to express at that moment?
I agree. I am grateful for whomever decided texting was going to be the next big thing, because I communicate a lot better that way.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's going to wrap up at least today for our Psalm 46. But I hope this helps kind of ignite a fire in everybody to look into, you know, the Psalms with us. I don't know which one we'll do next, and we're not going in these ones. We're not doing these like in order. We're just kind of doing these as they speak to us, as we're told, you know, what's going. So, but we will get through them all. It's just going to take us probably a couple years at this point, but you know, still, I mean,
the pressure.
Exactly. You know, but I mean, it's going through these and just learning, you know, this is almost like a teaching moment. We all get to learn how to express, how to talk to God, how to talk to about God, and when to go to God, and when, which is all the time, you know?
Yeah.
So, we're excited to kind of start this journey and have you all along with us, but we will see everybody next time. We want to thank you all for listening to the Mustard Seed Podcast and for joining us on this journey that God laid on our hearts. I know it's hard to feel connected when we are on this side of the microphone, so we wanted to make sure that you knew that you could connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at the Mustard Seed Podcast. Our Facebook group is a community. We share funny memes, Bible verses, and just life. You can reach out however you feel comfortable. We want to build the community that we advocate for on this podcast. The come as you are. Our table will never be too crowded and cannot get too big. You belong here, and we want to connect with you.